If you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn to John chapter 16. And Brother Al read from the passage of Scripture that I'm preaching from today and almost preached my sermon. I was like, Al, quit. You know, I'm just kidding. He's right on. But I'm kidding. But I'm actually glad that he made those comments because there is that sense of the delivery of the Holy Spirit that had to come at the conclusion of Jesus' ministry. And in this passage of Scripture in John chapter 16, Jesus is teaching them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it is funny that in the dialogue, we didn't read it, but it's further in the passage, in the dialogue with Jesus and His disciples preparing them for His leaving and the coming of the Holy Spirit, He says a phrase in verse in John chapter 16, starting in verse 16, He says a phrase, and they say a phrase back and forth seven times. It's the phrase, a little while. It said seven times. And when I think of sitting in the room with Jesus talking to His disciples, I can't help but think that that phrase is a question of reinforcement or a question of encouragement by the disciples. And in a sense, they're saying, well, what does it mean, a little while? Well, when we think about a little while, we think of a few things that take really a little while. We've had a blessing of many ladies in our church been pregnant in the last year. And you know, ladies, you all could give testimony. Well, that pregnancy only took a little while. In the middle of it, it didn't feel like it, though, did it? It took a little longer than that. But in the scheme of the 9 months of time and the rest of your life and the rest of eternity, it only was a little while. Some of you are studying or going on to college soon or in the middle of college, and it seems like college only takes a little while. Well, it really doesn't. You're agonizingly slow, staying up late with finals and trying to pass, and it seems like it'll go on forever, but it really only takes a little while. I think of our engagement to be married. Joe and I were engaged, and we had about 6 months of engagement until we got married. And it seemed to go on, and you probably could share this same testimony. It seemed to go on forever, but the truth of it is that engagement only took a little while. For those of you whose kids are a little bit older, not still in the arms, but are getting kind of waddling on their feet, that whole matter of potty training, right? It doesn't seem like it'll ever happen, but the truth of it is it'll only take a little while. Those of us who are a little bit older and are moving our kids along, it didn't seem that they would ever leave the house. But the truth of it is, getting the kids out of the house, it only takes a little while. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus is teaching His disciples that the Holy Spirit is coming. He is trying to help them to understand that the Holy Spirit will be advantageous to them. As Al said a moment ago, in the time of Jesus teaching the disciples, Jesus is limited by the time and space of being one human at one moment, in one place, in one time. Now we understand that Jesus is fully human and fully divine at that moment, and yet He limited Himself to one space and time as a human. And what Jesus is saying is that when I leave, when I physically leave you, the Helper will come, the one comparable to me will come. The one that is just like me will come, and the Holy Spirit will not be limited to one human body in one place in one time. The Holy Spirit will be everywhere all at the same time, and that's going to happen in a little while. And the disciples say, in a little while. Now, we have to put ourselves in the place of the disciples at the moment of hearing that word. Because unlike you and me, as we experience the Holy Spirit, as Riley did these past days when the Holy Spirit fills up her life at the point of testimony of salvation, you and I have never physically eaten a meal with Jesus. You and I have never physically walked side by side with Him on a dusty trail. You and I have never physically stayed up late into the night, hanging out, telling stories, learning about the kingdom like these guys got to do. And so we have to empathize with them for a moment and imagine that they're thinking, How in the world could it be better than this? How in the world that, what is the Holy? We don't need the Holy Spirit. We've got you. I mean, we can hug you. We can sit by you. We can swap stories together. We can share a meal together. How in the world can it be better than this? And Jesus is saying to them, in a little while, you will see me. In a little while, you won't see me. In a little while, you'll see me again. And in a little while, you won't see me, and then the Holy Spirit will come. Those disciples are looking at Jesus and they're going, what in the world does he mean by a little while? Some of you might have communicated a similar story to your toddler as you dropped her off at the nursery today. And she looked back at you with that, where are you going, mommy, kind of look in her eyes. You probably said to her, I'll be back in a little while. And what does that mean to that baby, to that child? Well, in this passage of Scripture, we finally see disciples resign, if you will, to the fact that Jesus is leaving. That in his leaving, he's not coming back for a while. From his perspective, he'll come back in a little while. But from their perspective, it is forever. But in the leaving of Jesus from the earth, Jesus is saying to them, even though I won't be with you, even though I physically won't be with you, that Holy Spirit will be just as if I'm here. That Holy Spirit will be just alongside you as if I'm walking with you through life, as if I'm walking with you on the trail, as if I'm going to work with you or play with you or school with you or whatever it might be, I, in the form of the Holy Spirit, will be with you for a little while and for an ever, forever a while. So then Jesus transitions into a teaching about the Holy Spirit. And he says that the Holy Spirit, first of all, practically replaces the physical Jesus. Jesus physically is going to the cross. It's just days away in this passage of Scripture that we're reading. He's going to the cross. He's going to hang there on a tree. His life will be taken from him. He'll be buried, raised again, and then after a period of time, will be gone physically for good until he comes again. And so the Holy Spirit is the replacement of the physical Jesus. And Jesus is teaching that in the absence of the physical Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come to you. We see that happening as Jesus promised as you open the book of Acts. And the disciples and others were in the upper room praying. They were scared for their lives because Jesus had just left for good. And in the middle of that prayer meeting in that upper room, the Holy Spirit came in with great fanfare, with great announcement, with great ceremony, with an undeniable declaration that the Holy Spirit had come. And those disciples got up out of that upper room and without any fear anymore, they came out in the street and they began to preach and began to proclaim the testimony that Jesus was keeping his promise, the testimony that Jesus was true. And Peter, in the middle of that, stood up and preached and proclaimed, and literally thousands of souls were won to the kingdom in that time. By the words of Peter and in the infusion, in the power of the Holy Spirit, the just like Jesus Holy Spirit that was touching the hearts of people that were hearing the message of the gospel. The physical Jesus is being replaced at the delivery of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says that the physical, in the physical replacement of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come and be the helper. Well, what does the helper do? The helper is the eternal, ever-present presence of Jesus in your life. When I was 9 years old, I heard the preacher say, if you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. And I didn't want to be a child of the devil because I was a good kid. I went to Sunday school. How can I become a child of God? And I found out that I needed to give my life to Jesus. And from that moment on, 50 years now, from that moment on, I have never wondered if Jesus' presence is in my life. I have never wondered if he had left me and would come back. He's always been there with me. And when you become born again, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, moves inside your life and walks you through life, through the darkest of moments, through the difficult of days, through the highest of mountains and the lowest of valleys. The Helper, the presence of Jesus in the Spirit, is with you. not only does the Helper walk through life and literally help us along the way, as is the title, but the Holy Spirit also works to convict us of sin. The whole matter of coming to the cross is a matter of admitting and realizing that we are sinners. It's not good news to say, but it's good news to know that there is a resolution for the sin that I'm carrying around in my life. There's a resolution for the sin that keeps you full of shame and separated from God. It is the work of Jesus on the cross, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit says, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. You need to do something about it. You can't keep carrying it all by yourself. You need to bring it to Jesus. The most powerful words in the language that we have today are two words. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry that I messed up, Jesus. I'm sorry that I put you on the cross. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And at those powerful words of I'm sorry and confession, Jesus looks from the cross at us and He says, I've done it for you, simply calling for you to believe. He convicts us of sin. And not only does He tell us how bad we are in the Holy Spirit, He also, through the power of the Holy Spirit, leads us to righteousness. Isn't it wonderful to know in the Christian life, we don't have to guess, we don't have to wonder, we don't have to take chances on how to be good, that we can know how to be good. We can know how to be righteous. We can know how to hear a well done, good and faithful servant from the Lord. The Holy Spirit prompts us in that right behavior. We find the Word of God. We find Him in the worship of God. We find Him in the testimony of others. We find Him in the ministry of the church. We find Him in those still, quiet, small spaces where the Holy Spirit speaks to us about right living. And we don't have to guess and we don't have to wonder. The Holy Spirit works to lead us to righteousness, and He gives us the sobering truth about judgment. The truth of it is, Jesus hasn't come back for a little while. In fact, He hasn't come back for a long while. I was talking to somebody the other day about the coming back again of Jesus, and from time to time I hear people say, oh, I just wish Jesus would come back and end this world and take me home to be with Him. And there's some value to that, of going on to the Lord and being with the Lord forever. But there's also the right now. Because the truth of it is, if Jesus came back in this moment, you and I know people that wouldn't go with us to be with Him forever. And so by the grace and mercy of Jesus, Jesus holds off His coming again so that you and I have the opportunity to personally and to help others come to the place of being ready for Jesus to come. But the judgment is coming. Whether you walk out of here today and breathe your last on the front lawn of the church or live another 20 years, there's an end of time coming for each one of us. And at that moment of judgment, at that moment of judgment, we are going to stand before the Father. And the Father will say, why should I let you into my heaven? And I've been a good person. I helped out charity. I went to church a lot. I didn't treat my family bad. None of those are going to be great answers. The only answer is not even an answer from you. The only answer will come is when Jesus steps in the place in front of the Father on your behalf and says to the Father, this one's mine. This one came and met me at the cross. This one came and said, I'm sorry for their sin. This one has lived a life following after the Holy Spirit and the presence of Jesus in their life. And the Father will say, because of the work of Jesus, because of the work of my Son, you are welcomed into heaven. Jesus Himself said at that moment of judgment, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Well, what is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is to accept the Son. It is the will of the Father to say, I'm sorry for my sin. I accept the Son and I take all that He is and all that He means into my life and become devoted to following His leadership through the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives us that sobering truth. And as a result of having the Holy Spirit dwelling inside our lives, we have the privilege of glorifying Jesus. Sunday night of revival, Madison and I were talking before the service about, giving her life to Christ. And I said, Madison, we'll talk about your baptism this week. We sat there right on that second row. And while the songs were continuing to sing, I said to myself, and I heard the Lord saying to me, well, what if Wednesday didn't come? Why are you sitting here on this pew with this sweet young girl who's asking about Jesus and telling her you'll talk to her in 3 days? What if Wednesday doesn't come? We gave the invitation and she was just doing a dance right there on the front row, just couldn't wait. And I said, you're ready tonight, aren't you? And from here to here. And she said, yes. And she came forward and prayed her prayer to accept Jesus into her heart. And from that moment, not next Wednesday, but from that moment, her soul is secured with the Lord. And her little countenance radiated like she had just met a best friend, which she had. She's starting the process of glorifying Jesus. Truth of it is, the older we get, the more routine this Christian life gets, the potential for us to be less glorifying of Jesus with our lives. Somebody say amen to that. And it becomes a matter of conviction to put on a smiley face and give God the glory and bless Jesus wherever we go so that when we walk in a room, people will know that we brought the Holy Spirit with us. People will know that our countenance is radiant and bright. People will know that there's evidence of a Jesus who lives in our life and everybody wants us in the room because Jesus has come with me. We have the privilege every day by the way we act, what we say, where we go, what we do, to bring glory to the Lord because of what He's done in our lives and the indwelling of the Spirit. The truth of it is, we can't check the Holy Spirit in and out of our lives like we check a book out of the library. He is with us. As I told Madison the other night, you're stuck with Him. And she's good with that, and I pray that you are too. We have the opportunity to glorify Jesus. And as a result, He teaches us all things. He teaches us all things. This Bible, this Word of God is so daunting to study and understand. But I want you to know, dear friend, with the power of the Holy Spirit and an honest-to-goodness look at this Word of God, even if you took it and just found a random page to read into it, with that influence of the Holy Spirit, you'll get a truth from God. And the better you study it, the more you read it, the more you understand it, the more you put the pieces together, the more you hear good Bible teachers teaching it with you and over you, it'll start to make sense in the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I won't leave you. I won't leave you. I'm sending my Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works. And secondly, as a conclusion, the Holy Spirit is seeking to work in you, to personally convict you of sin, to personally convict me of sin, to motivate us to righteousness, and to help us to avoid judgment. Over the course of years, ministering that message to people, I've seen people take an agonizingly long time to make it right with Jesus. Shuffling over here with good works a while. Shuffling over here with guilt and shame for a while. Shuffling over here with I'm not good enough. Shuffling over here with you don't know what I've done. Just outright stubbornness in the middle. And I've seen some of those same people, after taking an agonizingly long time in the lead up to giving their lives to Jesus, go through incredible amounts of turmoil, sleeplessness, argument, stubbornness. But I want you to know today, dear friend, if that is you, coming to the place of accepting Jesus in your life, it only takes a little while. It only takes a little while. To say I'm sorry. To say yes.